I want you to open your Bible today to the Gospel of Luke. I want to share a message that's very simple. I want to talk about when the disciples filled the boat, when the boat was filled to capacity with fish, and the boat began to sink. It's a great story here, a great lesson that we learn from this passage. I'm delighted you're in church. Thank you for being here today. It's always good to be able to be in church. I want to conserve time. I want to go down to verse number 8 and read verse 8 through verse 11 in Luke chapter 5. I will refer to the entire passage before these verses, but I want to read these to conserve time. And when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw the ship filled and began to sink because of all the fish, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, all of those fishermen, they forsook all and followed him. I want you to let your mind go with me as we look at this chapter. Some great truths, some great lessons. Peter learned much about spiritual things from his trade, his profession in life, which was fishing. Jesus used his trade to teach Simon Peter much about spiritual truths and spiritual victories. In fact, Jesus used every situation and every event, physical event, physical situations in life, to impart a spiritual truth and lesson to his listeners. And I'm not just going to be talking about fishing today. I enjoy talking about fishing. I enjoy fishing some. I don't enjoy what happened to me many years ago on a invitation to go fishing. There was two men in our church, and they fished for trout. For not trout, but stripes. They were stripe fishers. And for several months, they asked me to go fishing. "Will you go fishing with us? We want you to go fishing." So I finally said to Brother Moody, "I can go on a Friday evening. If y'all go up on Friday evening and fish a wild Friday night, I can go with you." So he and Brother Oster Garrett told me, "We want you to go fishing with us this coming Friday. We'll pick you up at 4 o'clock. They picked me up at my home at 4 o'clock, and we went up to Lake Lanier. And finally got the boat in probably around 6. And we went out and started fishing. Well, what happened, it was cold. The weather was cold. Wasn't too bad until the sun had gone down. And by 8 o'clock, I was getting cold. And by about 10 o'clock, I was extremely cold. And by 11 o'clock, I was thinking, these guys have really misled me. They're nuts. I was literally freezing to death. And I spent much time in prayer. And I said, "Lord, please let these men come to their senses and go home." About 12:30, one of them said, "Now, Brother Don, if you've got a busy day tomorrow, and you need to go in, we'll go in. And I said, fellas, I have got a full day tomorrow. I need to go. And I said, Lord, forgive me for that one. But I was freezing to death. And by the way, I had not gotten a bite. Neither one of those guys had gotten a bite. I said, are there any fish in this lake? And they said, well, we're fishing for stripes. And said, sometimes you'll come fishing 4 or 5 times, not even get a bite. But said, oh, when you catch one, it's worth it. And I thought, worth it? You'll be dead. You'll be frozen to death. So finally we came home, and that was an experience that I've never forgotten on a fishing trip. I went fishing with, when I was pastoring in Canton, I went fishing with a couple of guys during the day, fishing for bass. I'd never caught a bass. In fact, I'd never caught very many fish, period. I'd caught some minnows out in the creeks when I was growing up as a boy. I'd gone seine in a time or two with a tow sack and two poles tied in the end of it, and I'd drag it through the water and catch minnows and brim. So I went fishing on Lake Lanier again, and I said to the men, I cast out the rod, and I said, right over there is where the big one's at. And I landed beside these bushes. And just as I got comfortable, something hit my plug. A fish hit my plug. The fish, as you know, a bass will come up out of the water, and they'll do what they say, throwing the plug. He tried to throw the plug out, spit the plug out of his mouth. And when that bass came up, seriously, folks, the first thought I had was this. Somebody's hog is swimming out there around them trees, Brother James, and I done hooked that hog in the ear. I thought it got a hog. Seriously. And both of the men gathered around me, and they began to tell me how to land that bass. Don't reel it in too quickly. Give it some line now. Don't let it get in those trees. If you do, you won't ever get it in. Finally, we landed that bass. I was ready to go home. I put it on two stringers. I was afraid to get away. I wanted to go home. I was ready to quit. We stopped by a bait shop, and they weighed the fish. It weighed 9.5 pounds. 9.5 pounds. We got back to Hickory Flat store near my church where I was pastoring. We had the fish in a tin tub in the back of a pickup truck. And I'm out there standing behind that truck beside the truck looking at that fish, and all these guys at the store and from the community gathered around, and they were looking in that tin tub, that big tub, and looking at that big 9.5 pound bass. And one of the men had given me, and now this is really the name of the plug that I was using. I was using a plug called a Hellbender. That you can still buy them today. That was the name of the plug. It was a Hellbender. And one of those men said to me, Preacher, what did you catch that fish on? And I said, I caught it on a Hellraiser. And I pastored that church for 5 years, and I never lived that down. I'd go to town. I'd go out to Canton to town, and I'd be going down the street, and I've had men call from the other side of the street and say, "Hey, Preacher Don, what'd you catch that big fish on?" So that's kind of my experience of fishing. But these men learned a great lesson. Let me tell you about the story I want to give today. First of all, the lesson opens with the islandness of the ships. These ships that were used exclusively for fishing were idle. Listen at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. The first thing we learn is you can't catch fish and be idle. These boats were idle. I've seen men just throw out and reel in for hours and hours attempting to catch fish. I'm sure these boats had sailed all over this lake. I'm sure that day after day after day after day, these boats sailed. Literally thousands of fish had been caught and dumped inside these ships. But in this lesson, the ships were idle. And may I say to you that these ships picture our lives. God is never the author of idleness. I want that to grip your heart. I know of nothing that really gets very much accomplishment to it if it involves idleness. And these boats were idle. In fact, the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands brings great shame. And I want you to look, if you would, listen to verse number 11 of that same chapter, chapter 6. Verse 11 says, so shall thy poverty come as one, and for 60 years I've pronounced that word, travaileth. And for some reason this morning, as I was going over this passage again, that word jumped out at me. And I said, that's not travaileth. I've probably heard 100 preachers quote this verse in the last 60 years. And they said, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth. That's not the word travail. You know what that word is? It's traveleth. Traveleth. It's like a man that has a field, has a crop. And he doesn't work the crop. He doesn't stay with the field. He doesn't stay with the vineyard. He just travels. He just lives it up. He just wants to get away. I've got to get away. I've got to have some recreation. I've got to get away from this. So he just traveleth. And the Bible said that man would have great poverty. He'd suffer shame. So God never honors idleness. May I ask us a question this morning? How active are you in the Lord's work? What have you involved yourself with in the Lord's work that will contribute to the kingdom of God and contribute to helping others know Jesus and helping others to be right with God? What are we doing that might contribute to folks knowing Jesus? Are you idle? Not only do I see the idleness, but listen to this. Jesus, in verse 3, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and requested him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Jesus gives instructions in verse 4 through verse 6. The Lord uses those idle boats to teach a great lesson on what these men were to do for the rest of their life. He taught them some things. If you will, please look at verse 4. In verse 4, when Jesus had left speaking, when he had finished his lesson, as far as words, he said unto them, unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You see, fish must be caught. Fish must have someone that will fish for them if they're going to be caught. People must have someone to reach them. God's chosen it that way. I've never known of a fish to jump out of the water and walk to somebody's house and go up the steps and go inside and jump in the frying pan, have you? If you ever see one does that, bite. You'll have a rarity. Somebody must go to where the fish are. Somebody must go to the lake or the river. Someone must go where the fish are, and someone must fish for those fish if they're going to be caught. And so it is we're reaching the world. May I say to you, and I put myself at the top of the list, you and I stand indicted this morning, and we ought to be uncomfortable with this, that this building is not packed to capacity. There's multitude of people out there that needs to be reached. Somebody needs to spend some time with them. Somebody needs to go where they are and let them know that somebody cares about them. And somebody is interested in them. Somebody needs to do that. And Jesus said to those disciples, listen to this. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Launch out into deeper water. Someone said, well, the way they fished back then, the fish was not really caught in deeper water. The fish were caught near the shore where perhaps it was not so deep. It's difficult to maneuver those humongous nets that they fish with out in deeper water. But Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Not just launch out, but he said, then let down your net for a catch. Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Can I ask you this morning, in humility, how many of you, if I said, if you're saved, will you lift your hand? You're not ashamed of the fact that you know Christ. You're born again. You're on your way to heaven. You have a home in heaven. And if I ask you, how many of you this week talked to somebody about Jesus, how many of you could lift your hand and say, I did? I'm saying to you, God may be calling on you this morning to launch out into the deep. Go where the fish are. I think some of us make about as much sense as the story I heard about a guy that he and his brother lived out in the country. And somebody rode by one day, and one of the brothers was sitting out in the middle of a big field in a chair, sitting there with a rod and reel in his hand, throwing it out and rolling it in. And the guy was so concerned about it, he turned his vehicle around, went back to the house, and his brother was sitting on the porch, and he said, look, said, who is that out in the field? He said, that's my brother. And he said, well, sir, you ought to go out there and help him. Said, he's sitting out in the middle of that field in a chair, flipping a rod and reel out and rolling it in the hot sun. You ought to go help him. And he said, I'm going to. He said, I'm going to get in the boat in a little while and go out there and get him. That's humorous. It's a humorous story. But it's pitiful that you won't catch very many people sitting in the swing on your front porch. You won't catch very many people, listen to me, sitting in your Sunday school class and listening to a good lesson that doesn't move your heart and stir you to go out and find somebody. There's people that we ought to be witnessing to. There's people that we ought to be sharing the gospel with. And Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down. Let down for what? For a catch. Notice something else he said. Verse 5. Simon Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, we have been out all night. We have toiled, we have fished all night, and have taken nothing. But listen to this. Jesus taught him a commitment to the word. Listen to what he said. Simon Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." We have fished all night. We haven't taken anything, but nevertheless, if you tell us to do it, we'll let down the net. That's commitment to God's word. Does the Lord expect us to share him with others? Does the Lord expect you and I to talk to others with words and share the truth of the gospel? Does the Lord expect us to do that? Listen to these words. Jesus said, "Go into the highways and hedges. Go into the lanes of the city. Go up and down the passages of the villages." Jesus said, you go into the highways and hedges, and you share my message with others. Now you say, "Preacher, I try to share it through my life. I try to share it through the way I live." I commend you for that. And that is of utmost importance. That is of utmost importance. It wouldn't do a lot of good to go and talk to somebody about Jesus if you're not walking with Jesus and living for Jesus. It wouldn't have a lot of influence on them. But I commend you for your life, your commitment to the Lord to live for him. And you want Christ to shine through you. But God said that we were to go and contact people. We're to go and make disciples. We're to go and have an influence on people. And Jesus taught a great lesson through the Apostle Peter. Notice what Peter said. He said, "Lord, we failed. We fished all night. We haven't taken anything. But in spite of this," the word "nevertheless" really means "in spite of." "We have fished all night long. We haven't taken anything. But in spite of this, at thy word." Whose word? The Lord's word. This Bible says, now listen to me, this Bible says more about witnessing and talking to others and trying to reach others with your life and your lips. It says more about that than it does about tithing. Wow. It says a lot about tithing. But Jesus said, you go. You talk to your friends and your relatives. You talk to people about the Lord. You go. I was in the hospital the other day and I was praying with a person. And so help me. When I finished praying, the little nurse had come in and she said, "Would you say a prayer for me?" And I said, "I'll be happy to." And that gave me an opportunity to ask her if she knew Jesus, if she knew the Lord. I'm saying to you, God wants us, God expects us to talk to people about the Lord. I've told you this before, but God just brought it to my memory, and I believe it's worth telling them. And I am so frail and so weak in this area of witnessing. But I visited a lady years ago. It was the North Lake Hospital. It was the old Tucker Hospital on Islewood Road. A lady named Mrs. Morris was a member of this church, elder lady. I went up to see her, and Mrs. Morris, I talked with her. She was sitting up on the side of the bed. There was a lady in the room in the bed, in the adjacent bed. And when I prayed, I said, "Lord, would you help this lady in the room here with Mrs. Morris and help her, and may she be able to go home soon," and so forth. And I prayed for she and Mrs. Morris. And I had to go on to DeKalb Medical. I had to go to Crawford Long that day. So I was in a hurry, and I rushed out, and God's listening. I wished that I would be more conscious. But I But I started down the hallway, and I got to the elevator, and the Holy Spirit burdened my heart and said, you didn't even ask that lady. You prayed for her, but you didn't even ask her if she knew Jesus as her Savior. And I was so smitten in my spirit. I went back down to the room. And God's listening to what I'm telling you. And when I got back to the room, the lady had gotten up and was sitting on the side of the bed, had her house coat on, putting on her house shoes. And I said, ma'am, excuse me. I won't apologize to you. I prayed for the Lord to help you get well and go home. But I did not ask you if you knew Jesus. I didn't ask you if you've been saved. And this is what she said to me. She looked up at me and her eyes became moist with tears. And she said, no, but I've been thinking about it a lot recently. And I prayed with her and she called on Jesus and got saved. Now, I wish I could tell you that's happened hundreds of times, but it hasn't. But I'm telling you, God wants us because of his word, because of what he said. Simon Peter said, nevertheless, Lord, in spite of the fact that we've fished all night and didn't catch anything, but in spite of that, at your word, whose word? The Lord's word. At your word, I'll give your word authority. I'll let down the net because your word said to. Because you said let down the net. Why should we go? Because Jesus said to. Jesus said to. And then when he applied the word, when he obeyed the word, look at verse 6. And when they had done this, when they had done this, listen to this. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. They caught so many fish that the net could not hold them. I've never had that happen spiritually in my life. But I'd like to see an ingathering of souls in this place. Brother Foskey wants to see that. I believe Brother Foskey has a burden to see people get saved. Do you have a burden? Does it bother you that sometimes we'll go a month and not have these baptismal waters troubled? Nobody baptized? You say, well, preacher, that's your and Brother Foskey's job. That's the staff's job. I agree that we ought to set the example. But I'm telling you, it's your job too. You know people that I'll never meet. You know people that I'll never be able to talk to. You have influence on folks that Brother Foskey doesn't have influence on. And sometimes just a word, just showing somebody that you're concerned about their soul will have a great, great influence on them. Jesus gave them instructions, lunch out and let down. They obeyed. And notice what happened, verse 6 and 7. What an ingathering of fish. What an ingathering of fish. The ship was so full and the net was so full that they beckoned unto their partners who were in other ships that they would come. And they came and they filled their ships so that all the ships began to sink. Wow, what a lesson. What an experience that Jesus used to teach these men. But listen to this. It had such an effect on Simon Peter. He said, oh, dear Lord, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. You saved me. I should be out here trying to reach others. And I'm out here fishing. And you've used my fishing trade to teach me a lesson that's pricked my heart. And he bowed at the knees of Jesus. And notice what happened. He was astonished in verse 9, and all they that were with him at the number of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, who were brothers, sons of Zebedee. They were partners with Simon in the fishing business. And Jesus said unto them, "Fear not. Don't be afraid to do what I've told you to do." I think we can find every reason in the world not to talk to people about Jesus. Sometimes I'm so ashamed. I see people and have an opportunity to share the gospel, and I just, that old nature, that fear, that thought, wonder what they're going to think, or are they going to think you a kook? Are they going to curse you out? Well, it's worth being cursed out to try to get somebody saved. And they're not going to most of the time. It's worth it. It's worth it. And notice what Jesus said to them. Simon, John, James, and the others, listen to this. Jesus said, "Fear not. Fear not. You're amazed. You're astonished at what's just happened. But from henceforth, from this time forward, you're going to catch men." You're going to catch men. What a lesson Jesus had taught them. What a lesson. And then notice, their hearts were filled with worship in verse 89. They worshiped him. They bowed and worshiped Jesus. And then their life was filled with a plan of service. The Lord said, "For the rest of your life, I have a plan for you men." And these men, for the next 40 or 50 years, these men used their life to bring literally thousands and thousands of people to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter preached one simple message on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. Can you believe that? 3,000 people got saved through one message that he learned from this lesson. He learned that God wanted he and the others to be fishers of men. Look at verse 11, please. Notice the impact of this experience. Verse 11 says, "And when they had brought their ships to land." Well, what happened? Well, I think probably there were some ships for sale. When they brought those ships to land, something happened. Listen to this. They forsook all. They forsook all and followed him. Followed Jesus. May I suggest some things that they forsook? I do not use the word forsook to leave the impression that they deprived their families, but they did leave their families. Their number one thing became fishing for men, trying to reach the lost. That's not an excuse not to take care of your family. That's not an excuse to not provide for your family. That's not an excuse to put away your family. But it means they put Jesus first in their family. They had a love for Christ that was so great that the love they had for their family really, in comparison, seemed like hatred. They did not cease loving their families, but their love for Christ became so exceedingly great that it was no comparison. They forsook all. Forsook their family. Then I think I'd be safe in saying they forsook their fortune. I think these men were successful in the fishing trade. That was one of the main trades of that day. And I think that they owned their own boats. I think they must have been rather successful in what they did. But they forsook that fortune. They said, "Our job, our responsibility is to reach men for Jesus." I wish that we could fall in love with the Lord to the extent that we'd want to help others come to Christ. We'd want to help others. I remember I was a novice. I put up a little tent on highway, used to be Highway 19, near Alpharetta, Georgia. I erected a little tent. And my brother, who had several months prior to that, my oldest brother, had come to a cottage prayer meeting in a home where I was preaching. I got him to come to the cottage prayer meeting. And I was so burdened, and I had plenty of energy then, and I preached about an hour and 15 minutes. We had a coal heater in the house where I was preaching, and the fire went out. My clothes was wet with sweat, perspiration. I was burning up, but everybody else was froze. I mean, many was cold, but a few of them was frozen. And he was so mad. And when I dismissed the service, he came by me and he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, if I ever decide to get religion, he said, "I'm going to find a preacher. I won't come to no kook like you." Oh, that crushed me. Devastated me. And I erected a little tent on Highway 19. And I had asked the man this particular night that was preaching when I confessed that God had called me to be a preacher. Hiram Mucky was preaching. I asked him to preach that night. And on Saturday before the following Monday night when this happened, my brother called me and said, "What are you doing, bud?" And I thought, boy, he's not mad at me. He said, "What are you doing, bud?" And I said, "I'm not doing anything." He said, "Would you come up to the house?" I drove up to my brother's house, and he was sitting in his backyard, leaned up against an oak tree, and he was flipping acorns like this, like shooting a marble. And I walked around to where he was, and I called him. He'd call me Bud, and I'd call him Bud. And I said, "How you doing, Bud?" He said, "I'm not doing so good." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell." He said, "I'm afraid I'm going to hell." And I talked with him, prayed with him. He didn't get saved. But the following Monday night, he came to that little tent meeting. He came to a meeting where Coop was holding the meeting. He came to the meeting. And Preacher Hiram Mucky preached that night and gave an invitation. And my oldest brother came out of the back of that little tent, came down the aisle and fell on his knees and crawled across the front of the little tent to a bench we had set up. We call it the altar, the mourner's bench. And he called on the Lord and made things right with God. When he died, I was standing by the bed and he was lying there in Northside Hospital. And I said, "Bud, I want to read you something." I took my little testament and I turned to the 23rd Psalm and I read the 23rd Psalm to him. And I looked over when I got down to where it said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." When I got down to that verse, I looked over and the tears was running down his face. And his only daughter took a tissue and said, "Daddy, I want to save those tears." She wiped those tears from his face. And he died that evening and went and met Jesus. I'm telling you, nothing is of that importance. That, as far as I'm concerned, that's worth more, that's more important than anything in all the world. And I'm saying to you this morning, they forsook all. They forsook all. We've had missionaries, men in this church called to be missionaries. I've had them say to me, "Brother Don, my parents said to me, why in the world are you going to some foreign country, some heathen land? Why are you taking my grandkids and why are you going? Why can't you stay here and tell folks about God? Why do you got to go over to some foreign land live with them heathens. They don't understand. We have to forsake all. We have to forsake all, family, fortune, friends, and even the fun times. There's nothing wrong with anybody having a fun time. There's nothing wrong with you having some activities and things that you enjoy doing. God understands that, and God doesn't expect you. But I'm saying when it comes to being fishers of men, this ought to come before anything. It ought to come before anything. And I've learned that we can be fishers of men wherever we go, if there's people there. Yes, you can be fishers of men. Wherever you go, during your fun time, you can be fishers of men if there's people there. And they forsook all. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God intends for us to do that? Do you believe that Jesus meant when he said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men? Do you believe that? Do you believe it as a church? Do we believe it? And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, I've learned this. The more time we spend for Christ, the less time we have for ourselves. And what a blessing to be able to follow the Lord Jesus and be fishers of men. Let's stand, please. I want to ask the question before I give the invitation, before I pray and give the invitation this morning. I don't want you to lift your hand just because I'm asking you this. But how many of us in this building this morning, how many of us could say, lift our hand and say, I know of someone that's unsaved? Maybe it's a family member. It could be someone that you work with. Maybe somebody in your neighborhood. But you're thinking right now, you're thinking of someone who does not know Jesus, not saved. How many of you would say, Brother Richards, I'm thinking of someone right now that's not saved. I can see their face right now. I'm thinking of that person. Pray for me. Pray for me that I will be able to talk to those people about Jesus. God will help me to do that, and he will. But how many of you know of somebody that's unsaved and you have them on your mind right now? Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe young people, others lifting their hands. Maybe it's a mother, father, sister, brother, neighbor, co-worker on the job. I'm going to ask God to help you talk to those people. God wants you to. And God will help you to reach them. If you'll just let him guide you, let the Holy Spirit guide you, he'll help you to reach them. I wonder if we have anyone in this room and you'd say, Brother Richards, I've never trusted Christ. Jesus loves you. Oh, he loves you. Do we have someone to say, Brother Richards, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not really sure I'm saved. I need to get it settled. Would you lift your hand and say, pray for me, I'm not saved. Anybody in this room, I'm looking. Anybody in this building, young people, anybody, older people, anybody in this room that say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anybody, would you lift your hand? I'm looking to see if I see a hand that I can pray for. Anybody? Anybody like that? Now, Father, I pray that you would see that your word does not return void. Help us to be fishers of men. Help us to reach people with the gospel. Please help us to tell people about the Lord and help us to be faithful and make us fruitful in our witness and in our life. Thank you for these that lifted their hand and said, I've got somebody on my mind that's unsaved. I pray that you'd help them this week to be able to talk to those people in love and kindness. And may they respond. May they respond. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed. Brother Wade's going to sing a verse of invitation. Now listen carefully. If you're in this room, and first of all, if you did not lift your hand but you're not saved, I want to invite you to come right now and trust Christ. If you're in this building and